Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Awards Daily Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and tonight I am joined by two members of the Awards Daily team to talk about the 2020 Tony nominations. And so, guys, why don't you introduce yourselves, and we'll move on. Joey, we'll start.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83. And very much like Percy Jackson, I did not get a nomination.
And very much like Percy Jackson, you did not deserve one. Kevin?
Hi, it's Kevin Dillon. You can find me on Twitter at ETKevin'sMind. And just like in Laura Linney's Tony-nominated play, I also do not like to take breaths either when I'm working.
All right. Well, now the pressure's on for me to have some sort of witty Tony thing. So, again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. And just like, And just like Robin Herder from Moulin Rouge, the musical, I got a Tony nomination for just walking on the stage.
You mean you're not the star of Clarence, the Clarence Moy musical?
Yeah. The whitest production ever. It's anti-woke.
It's just like you listening to NPR. That's what
Brilliant. Smashing. So this is a weird podcast already, but we are doing a special podcast because we don't normally cover Tonys, of course. We cover film and TV, but occasionally Joey and I do talk theater because we're both theater geeks. And we have asked Kevin to join us because it would probably make sense to have someone on the podcast who's actually seen something other than Moulin Rouge, which apparently I have done the best I've ever done in a Tony nomination year. I have seen nominations. All right. So, as you all know, or hopefully you know, the Tony Awards are traditionally take place in June, maybe the second week of June, and the nominations usually come out in the beginning of May. However, due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Broadway shut down somewhere around March timeframe. I don't exactly know the date. And they were not able to reopen. There was a thought that perhaps they would reopen in July. That was extended. It was extended to January of 2021. And it was recently extended through March of 2021. So the Tony nominations that came out today were the 2020 Tony nominations from a very, very, very limited set of candidates. There were only four musicals in contention, and there were 15 or so or 14 or so plays in contention. So the play category is a bit more robust. The musicals, it looks like they nominated the three musicals that premiered or were eligible prior to the shutdown in every category that they could. So Tina Turner musical got, 12 nominations, 13 nominations, something like that. And then Moulin Rouge got 14, and Jagged Little Pill led with 15. And then some plays were nominated. So we're going to talk about the nominations. We're going to talk about the crazy season. And and that'll be it. And we'll talk about who we think will win and probably follow up on this at some point with whatever they're trying to do with a Tony Awards show, which will take place sometime in December. It's just a lot unknown about this.
TBD.
That's the TBD, the Tony Awards. So I want to start with something Joey just told me before we started recording, which is there's one category with a single nominee. And mistakenly, I assumed that best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical would default to Aaron Tveit from Moulin Rouge. The musical, or as James, I want to call him James Newton Reilly, the guy that won a Tony for Aladdin, as he says, Moulin Rouge, the musical. He kept saying that over and over again. I'm not even sure I'm getting the cadence exactly right. But Joey, I'm not exactly right, am I?
Apparently, and I did not know this, someone said that there's still technically Aaron Tveit needs to get 60% of the vote to actually win. So if people don't, it just makes me laugh. It's so shady. It's just like if they don't vote for him or people just, I I think the only way this would happen is if they just assume that he's not going to win and they don't check his name, that means Aaron Tveit won't get nominated.
Or if he won't win, he will win. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, just like 2020, we could have a do not vote type situation, or 2016, hopefully not 2020. Let's hope people vote and just give him a Tony, because the guy deserves it. This is his, he's grown so much as a performer. I've actually seen him in every show that he's every big show that he's done, even Catch Me If You Can. And that show was goddamn painful. Oh, it was so bad. It was one of the worst shows I've ever seen. But he's really grown, and I really hope he gets this Tony, because it would be a shame if he didn't.
Yeah, I do too, because he does a really great job. He's a bit of a if you compare his performance in this to like Ewan McGregor in the film, you know, Ewan McGregor has that childlike wonder in the beginning. Aaron kind of stumbles through the beginning a little bit. Like he sings well, but he doesn't have an emotional note to play. I don't think he knows how to play Love Struck Puppy. But once he gets to the darker brooding material of the second act, he's a lot better. I mean, he's actually pretty great, actually.
I'd agree 100%.
But yeah, so hopefully people end up voting for him, because that would be the most embarrassing thing.
So bad. It would be so bad.
I just want to know, are they gonna, and maybe just from the Emmys to here on out, like, are they gonna probably model handing the statue to somebody like they did at the Emmys? Because can you imagine if Aaron Tveit's the only nominee in that category and somebody in a hazmat suit walks away sort of Rami Youssef style?
Oh, God.
Wouldn't that be awful?
I hope that they never do that again for any awards.
I mean, the mostly the good thing about these nominees is a lot of them. Well, although everyone's leaving New York, or not everyone, but a lot of people are leaving New York. But most of these people, I would imagine, live in New York, so they could potentially do something outdoors with these folks. Like, even if it's just the main performers, I feel like a lot of these folks live in New York, so that could be interesting. So you actually could semi have a ceremony, maybe. I don't know.
Well, at least, you know, do like an outside performance of some of the numbers, you know, from the musicals, right? Because that's so important. That's not even that important for the Tonys itself. That's important for people, for musicals that want to go on the road and tour. That's how people at home find out about these shows, and that's how they know to go and book their tickets for these traveling shows. So, you know, musical theater really depends on those performances, even if no one, you know, I mean, those are three really good musicals, but even, you know, like Little Mermaid, when it wasn't nominated for anything, they still did a performance because they needed that publicity behind it. So let's talk about musicals. Let's talk about the three that are nominated for everything the line. Jagged Little Pill, Moulin Rouge, the musical, and Tina, the Tina Turner musical. So, Kevin, you and I have seen Moulin Rouge. You've seen it three times. I've seen it twice, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you've seen Jagged Little Pill.
I have. So I've actually seen Jagged Little Pill twice also. So I actually have only seen, of the three times that I've seen Moulin Rouge, the only time Tony nominated Karen Olivo was in it was when I saw it in Boston, because she did something to her voice, partway through the run of this is why I'm like kind of surprised that she's nominated a little bit, even though there really wasn't many other people to nominate. Because she really wasn't in a good bit of the run of the show. And I think the only reason she probably is because Moulin Rouge came out earlier in New York and as a run. I think it debuted in New York in August of last year.
It debuted on July 25th.
Yeah.
Because it debuted before my birthday.
Yep. So, and that's why she's nominated, because come like, I think it was, I saw it in December and January, and come that, her understudy was in it. And I'll be honest with you, her understudy was better than her, in my opinion. I love Moulin Rouge, and I've seen that. I saw Moulin Rouge once in Boston and twice in New York, and I saw Jagged Little Pill once in Boston and once in New York. So
Kevin, you and I have talked about this before, and sorry, Joey, yeah. We don't mean to leave you out.
We've actually argued about this, or not argued, but discussed who would win.
Yes, we did. But did you still think, after seeing it twice in New York, that the Boston show was better than the show that they put on in New York?
It was.
Yeah, it was. I totally agree.
The Boston show was better. There was something, and it wasn't the number they cut, because they cut Shake It Off from, which was the great, it was a great call. I'll be honest with you. I think I know what it was. So they gave Danny Burstein an extra number that belonged.
Gave him Chandelier.
Chandelier, which actually was Toulouse's song, and I actually think that worked, the Toulouse better. Singing that worked way better, and I think they did it because they wanted to get Danny Burstein a Tony, which he's gonna win a Tony, I would guess.
I swear to God, if he does not win a Tony, I swear to God.
I
agree. I mean, I interviewed the creative team late last year when they were nominated for a Grammy. And I asked why they did that. And it was, they said it made more sense narratively to have him sort of, be the one that tries to get Christian drunk so that he's not thinking about Satine and to kind of hold him. It just made more sense in the shape of the play. But I do agree with you. I think it's really just to put the focus on Danny Burstein because... Yep. I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Sarnaguja, was better than Danny Burstein. He made a bigger impression in the Boston show, and it, I think largely because of Chandelier, because he just performed the hell out of that number.
So good. And I think I don't know. I thought the theater in Boston felt big, but it also felt more intimate.
Well, the seats were really tiny.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Oh my God. And they redid that theater. They redid that theater just for that show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Boston Moulin Rouge was better. And I'm going to shameless plug this. My friend and I on their, one of their closing night, or actually one of their last nights, we went out, we met them out randomly at a gay bar in Boston and just partied with most of the dancers, and it was just a blast, and they were a great cast and a lot of fun to hang out with. So, and they're real, those male dancers are, my God, all the dancers, the dancing, it has to win choreography. There's no way it loses that.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. Although I think the thing that I loved the most about the Boston performance was the fact that the number that opens the second act, which is the mashup of Toxic and Bad Romance in Boston, that was performed on a raised platform.
Yep.
And in New York, it's on a flat stage. And they mentioned something about the size of the stage or whatnot. I think it might have just been too risky for people to do night in and night out on that sort of platform. But it set the choreography just apart from just standard choreography. It was just really inventive the way they did it. That was the part where I was just completely blown away by it.
Yeah.
But looking at these three nominees, Joey, is it my bias or do you think Moulin Rouge wins in the end, or is it Jagged Little Pill because Jagged Little Pill, has that broad support of the cast?
I feel like the old school rule to predict the Tony Awards is you pick the show that's going to tour better. That's what a lot of people always say. I don't necessarily know if I'm sure it'll do very well when and if Moulin Rouge is able to tour again. Obviously, the problem is to scale it down since everything that I've seen and heard about that show is an incredibly immersive experience. have never seen Jagged Little Pill. I've listened to some of it. I feel like I get sort of, maybe Kevin can correct me if I'm wrong, I get sort of a Next to Normal vibe from it, like Next to Normal, Dear Evan Hansen-y, kind of jukeboxy vibe. I think that may make it a little easier, but my instinct is to say that Moulin Rouge would win because it is a huge spectacle. I feel like people are going to want to vote for something that is really, really big and represents what Broadway and only Broadway can do. Where something like Jagged Little Pill would probably do very well touring and do very well in like regional theaters would probably do very well with Jagged Little Pill. So my instinct is to say Moulin Rouge.
What do you think, Kevin?
I do think it's Moulin Rouge, and I think I was actually going through my Gold Derby, like, oh, what's going to win what? And I was like, oh, well, Moulin Rouge is going to win, you know, costumes. It's going to win this. It's going to win that. And I'm like, okay, all this build up. And I'm like, it has to. And that's not always the case with the Tonys because they're a little bit different than other award shows. Like, for example, like Avenue Q won Best Musical, and it didn't win all those. But I really do think it wins. I think for me, the two things that I'm honestly only predicting Jagged Little Pill to win are featured actress and book. And I think that's it. I think that's all it wins. It's not going to win featured actor. Those male performances are ciphers. They're not real. They're not even real characters, honestly, in the show. There's nothing to them. It's not going to win lead actress. She's going to lose to the woman from Tina Turner. And I love the lead actress. I think she's great. I think she's a great performance. And it can't win lead actor because it's just Aaron Tveit. And it's not going to win like choreography. So I think across the board, you have this like really strong support for Moulin Rouge. And to Joey's point, Moulin Rouge just will tour better and it has a better name. And I think they'll see that. And I think it has to win. I would be shocked if it didn't. And I think people will be like, we need to award something big in these times.
A show that can bring people back to Broadway. Yeah. Yep.
100%.
And it's sort of like, I feel like Jagged Little Pill's representation of it was sort of a surprise. Like, I mean, I will admit, I expected Moulin Rouge to be the leader of the nominations. I actually, when I was prepping the post that I wrote for today, the headline, I had the picture up. I had the headline was Moulin Rouge leads Tony Award nominations with blank. And I was going to fill it in as I was filling it out. I was like, okay, well, I have to change it because that's right. Not. And it only, what, like, how many did Moulin Rouge get?
14. It missed by 15. One. Yeah. Missed by one.
So, yeah. So, that's it. I think it's still Moulin Rouge.
All right, let's just run through the musical category. So Kevin, you said Jagged Little Pill for Book of a Musical. I do agree with that because of Diablo Cody. Yep. And I don't think Moulin Rouge is strong enough to win in a book category.
Right.
I think the recognition for that team is going to come in orchestrations.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, putting all those...
Yeah.
Oh, putting all their songs together. Like, and I listened to the Broadway, like the original recording is insane.
Oh, it's so good.
It's great.
Insane.
It's great.
Let's see. Actor in a musical. We've already talked about actress in a musical. I mean, hands down, this is Tina Turner, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
There's no way. Yeah.
I'm glad Elizabeth Stanley finally has a Tony nomination. She's so fantastic in Jagged Little Pill. She's the best part of that show. She's so damn good. She's so damn well. She's one of two best parts of that show.
Featured actor. Danny Burstein, I would hope.
Gotta be. I swear if to God, it's not, guys. I will.
I swear to God, guys, I'm gonna fucking kill someone.
I mean, I do think, you know, his legacy in the theater community, this is his turn. It's his time. It's his chance. And the role they have beefed up the role enough to give it to him in a supporting category. Now, if there's vote splitting, which doesn't tend to happen with Tonys quite as much as it does in other awards bodies, I could see Daniel Watts, who plays Ike Turner.
Yep. I was just going to say, he is the spoiler of that. Yeah. He could totally win. It's no one else but Danny Burstein and Daniel J. Watts. Those are the two who are possible winners.
Agreed. Featured actress, it is ever since I heard about Jagged Little Pill when it first was on road tryouts in Boston, it was all about that supporting performance from, is it Lauren Patton?
Yep, Lauren Patton. Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, her singing You Ought to Know I've never seen people stand up in the middle of a show and clap. And that number gets people to stand up and clap. And she has You Ought to Know, and she has she does Hand in My Pocket too. And Hand in My Pocket's not my favorite number, honestly, in the show. But her You Ought to Know is just like, it's a showstopper. It's great. She's absolutely winning.
I know they had to fill out the category, but I'm still laughing that Robin Herter got nominated for LaRouche. So Joey, she plays, in the movie, you remember the darker woman who danced the Roxanne Tango?
Oh yeah.
That's who she plays. Yep. And she has maybe one line of dialogue. She's got that scene where they close the curtain and change out the stage, and she's warning Satine, you know, if you go against the Duke, I knew when he burned someone's face with acid or something like that. That's all she says.
All right. Whatever. But good for her.
Her dancing is great.
Yeah. She does a great job in that Toxic and Bad Romance.
Yes.
Yeah, I will say something that I do feel kind of bad. Like, this year is going to have an asterisk near it. Like, I'm really worried. Like, Danny Burstein finally gets his Tony Award. I mean, I do know that people were talking about Danny Burstein before Broadway did shut down. I know that. But I do feel like I hope a lot of people don't just dismiss it and be like, oh, it was the COVID year. Oh, that's why they have a Tony. Like, that's going to kind of suck.
Right.
Scenic Design of a Musical. It's, again, I'm not listing the nominees because it's the three shows.
I was watching the nominees. I was just laughing the whole time. I was like, we know who they are.
This is one of the surest bets of the night for Moulin Rouge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really think they run the gamut in all the texts. I really do.
Costumes for sure, lighting, yes. Sound design of a musical, sure.
Yep.
Choreography. I mean, Sonia Taye's choreography is fantastic. So she deserves to win as well. I am completely biased and I'm aware of that, but that's okay. And orchestrations. I mean,
yep.
That's another sure bet, I think.
The only one I guess I could see a spoiler in is lighting. Jagged Little Pill has this like backdrop of a television screen almost like a screen behind them that they use. So I could see lighting folks going for that. That's the only tech category that I could see them spoiling in.
And they may not want to go Moulin Rouge all the way down the ballot.
Right. That would be my only tech category that I could see them showing up in.
It's the same guy, though. It's Justin Townsend. He did the lighting for Little Pill and Moulin Rouge.
Of course he did. What I didn't about, even notice that.
Direction of a musical?
That's a good question. I think whatever wins musical tends to win direction. Usually, in past years, it's been the revival shows that have won direction a lot. Mm-hmm.
Has Diane Paulus ever won? Has she won a Tony?
I don't know.
Let me look. Yeah, she has. She won for Pippin.
Oh, see, yeah, a revival. Yeah. I would say Moulin Rouge has to win direction just because of the intense work that they do.
And he went through that embarrassment with Beetlejuice, because he directed Beetlejuice.
Right.
And he was fired from Frozen.
God. So, I bet that goes to him.
Because I don't see Phyllida Lloyd winning it. Is this the same Phyllida Lloyd that directed The Iron Lady?
It is. You mean
the same woman who directed Mamma Mia?
Oh, sure.
Honestly, Mamma Mia is better than The Iron Lady.
yeah, no argument here. But I mean, I think she has a Tony Award too. Hold on.
I think she does. I think you're right. For show?
The Elizabeth. She won for. No, I'm a liar. She did not win. She directed Mary Stuart. In 2009, that's when she was nominated, but she did not win. I could have sworn she had a Tony Award.
I thought so too, actually.
Side note,
but I think a English film director who directed Mamma Mia, who is white, directed Tina Turner as well.
Correct. Side note, Kevin, Gillian Anderson as Margaret Thatcher. Will forget everything you ever knew about The Iron Lady.
Every time someone asks
me, I think the first thing I messaged Clarence, I've seen the first three episodes, the first thing I said was like, Meryl who? That's it.
God, I hate that Oscar win so much. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
If she doesn't win an Emmy for this, there's going to have to be something really great that comes up. The only thing that really upsets me about this fourth season of The Crown, and we're totally off topic, but it all comes at the expense of Helena Bonham Carter.
I was just going to say she's barely in it.
She has one episode that is dedicated to her, and then she's in the background of a couple of other episodes. But they nearly completely wrote her out of this.
That's so sad.
Kind of like the real life person.
Yep. And that one episode that she has, she's really great in it, and it's very painful to watch because it's all about her being pushed aside. Season four is I finished it earlier this week, and this is probably breaking embargo, but anyway, it's amazing. It is so good.
Yes.
I do worry if people are going to be watching, if people are going to watch this who love the previous seasons of The Crown and say enough with Charles and Diana, because it's a lot about Charles and Diana, but it's all good stuff.
It's good. It's really good.
I'm very excited for that, honestly.
All right, let's go back to plays. So the best play nominations were The Inheritance and three other plays I've never heard of. Grand Horizons, Seawall, A Life, and Slave Play.
You've not heard of Slave Play?
Slave Play is like really like controversial.
Yeah, no. I saw Slave Play. Slave Play is very good. I think it's very good, but it's also a mixed bag. I think if we had continued on with the season, I think it would have been nominated. I don't think it would have been the most nominated play. I think it would have done well, but I don't know how far it would have gone. With that said, I think, you know, the whole kind of asterisks of it all or whatnot, I don't know that that exists here because I still do think it stands alone on its own. I will say this at this moment, because of white guilt and a whole slew of other things, I do think Slave Play will win. And I think the reason it will win is because The Inheritance, which is what I think a lot of other people are predicting. I was almost about to see that show, but I could only get part two before part one. And it was like, nah, I can't do that. And I think that was the problem a lot of folks had with The Inheritance is like, they liked one part and they didn't like the other. And they were like, this should have been one show. They also, the critique that I heard from a lot of queer folks was it felt too derivative of Angels in America, Boys in the Band, and Normal Heart. Like it felt too derivative. And it wasn't, I heard a lot of actual cons from people about that show. You know, even though, like, I heard great things about some of the performances, I heard people kind of, like, muffling about it. And, like, Slave Play, I heard that too, but I heard more, like, it's so interesting. Like, it's still interesting, and it intrigued me. So I think that's the show to watch out for in Best Play. I would say those are the two to watch out for. Although Seawall and A Life got a lot more nominations than expected.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. I think some people didn't think Jake Gyllenhaal would get nominated. It did a lot better than they thought it would. So maybe that's the spoiler. But at this moment, I would say Jeremy O'Harris's Slave Play is probably the front runner.
And I didn't say this at the top, but Slave Play did break the record for a non-musical theatrical production with 12 nominations.
That's a lot of... Wow. That's like...
And you can't really say... You can't use the same dialogue around Slave Play that you can with Moulin Rouge or with Jagged Little Pill, because there was a lot more competition on the play side than there was on the musical side.
That's right.
I do say, I think what, like, The Inheritance has going for it is I think everyone was always talking about the ambition of the show, but I believe Ben Brantley's review said something about, like, hold on, let me pull it up. Oh, yeah, it says, breadth doesn't always equal depth.
Well, it did really well at the Drama Desk Awards, and it did really well at the Outer Critics Circle.
I actually thought, because I know that the cast of The Inheritance has, it just feels like a shit ton of fucking queer people. I feel like I was expecting more acting nominations out of it, because got three. It got Benjamin Hickey in lead actor, and then
Andrew Burnup in lead actor.
Oh, he's nominated. John Benjamin Hickey's in supporting. Is Paul Hilton.
Yep. Paul Hilton and Lois Smith. So it got four nominations.
Oh, Lois Smith is winning. I'm sorry.
Yes, she is.
Lois Smith does not have a Tony Award. Like, that's insane.
We'll hit the performance categories in a second. Best revival of a play, Betrayal, Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, and a Soldier's Play.
I think it's going to be a Soldier's Play. That's my guess. I think it could be Frankie and Johnny, but I'm going to go with Soldier's Play.
I think I agree with that.
And I actually think David Alan Greer could surprise in featured actor too. He's been nominated in that category before for a terrible play by David Mamet called I think it is called Race. Oh my God. One of the worst goddamn plays I've ever seen. Jesus. Oh, it's so misogynistic. It's so terrible. But David Alan Greer was great in it. And so, like, it's great to see him, like, thrive in theater. And I think they'll finally recognize him.
Kind of like he's in Porgy and Bess too. Yeah. So,
yeah. Kind of like Danny Burstein. It's a very similar thing. He's an overdue actor in theater.
But Soldier's Play has is a front runner in the revival of play category. What do you think, Joey?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What do you think is your bet for revival of a play front runner?
I would probably say a Soldier's Play too. I think the only thing that, I mean, Claire de Lune is only nominated for what that and Audra McDonald. So way to get number seven, Audra. And then, like, Michael Shannon wasn't nominated. I mean, they nominated six people in lead actor in a play, and they couldn't get Michael Shannon there. So I don't think it's that. Betrayal, Tom Hiddleston's nominated. So I think, and it felt like, I feel like that a Soldier's Play is more represented than the other two. So I'm going to say a Soldier's Play too.
Okay. I'm going to jump down to actor in a leading role in a play. And we have Ian Barford, Linda Vista, Andrew Burnap, The Inheritance, Jake Gyllenhaal, Seawall, A Life, Tom Hiddleston, Betrayal, Tom Sturridge, Seawall, A Life, and Blair Underwood, A Soldier's Play.
I would probably personally vote for Jake Gyllenhaal just because he wasn't nominated for Sunday the Barber George. So.
But they weren't eligible.
I know, but I don't care. Rules be damned. I had forgotten that show happened and then he was in that, to be perfectly honest. I feel like this might be a toss up unless you guys can sway me in a different way.
I think you're making a good point because I was listening to a podcast talk about before the nominations came out, and they were talking about, well, are they going to nominate a whole bunch of stars, or are they going to have a whole bunch of stars win if there are stars nominated? So Jake actually is not a bad call because of this group. He is the biggest name, and if they're going to do something moderately televised or in anything, that's who they go for. I would say my prediction at this moment is Tom Hiddleston in Betrayal. But I think it's actually, I do think it's between him and Jake. But if they want to go traditional Broadway, I think the surprise winner is Ian Barford and Linda Vista, because I heard not great things about that show, but I heard he's fantastic in it. So that would be my, like, third place person. So I'm going Hiddleston, Gyllenhaal, Barford.
I would probably say, sorry, let me go back. I would say probably Gyllenhaal, Hiddleston. I was actually really happy that Blair Underwood got nominated.
Me too.
I just love him as an actor. I think he's just so charismatic. So I don't think counting him out is really a bad idea either, but I think Jake Gyllenhaal probably wins.
I think that makes sense. Best performance by an actress in a leading role in a play. We have Joaquina Calucango, Slave Play, Laura Linney, My Name is Lucy Barton, Audra McDonald, Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune, Mary Louise Parker, The Sound Inside. Does Audra win a seventh Tony?
I mean,
I don't think so. I heard Laura Linney was, and this is why I made my joke at the beginning, I heard she was actively bad in My Name is Lucy Barton. I read a lot of reviews that said she was bad, like, and when I said that she did not take a breath, she apparently did not take a breath. Like, there is no moment of rest in that play. I will say she is fourth. I think it's either Mary Louise Parker or Joaquina Calucanga for Slave Play. I think my guess would be Mary Louise Parker, because she was going to actually even have another show that she was going to be eligible for. Oh God, what was the show? Driving, something about driving, Driving Lessons. So she was apparently going to have two shows. So I do think folks who are in the know will remember that. So that would be my guess. It's Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah, her reviews were great.
Mm-hmm.
So. I feel like I would not count out Audra McDonald just because I feel like it's an easy
win. It's an easy pick.
She's only lost to Tony Award twice. She lost for Marie Christine and 110 in the Shade. Those are the only two, so people are feeling they need something to feel good about themselves.
True.
Featured actor in a play, Ato Blankson-Wood, Slave Play, James Cusati Moyer, Slave Play, David Alan Greer, Soldier's Play, John Benjamin Hickey, The Inheritance, Paul Hilton, The Inheritance. This is David Alan Greer.
I think so.
Yeah. I like that. Okay. Or I also just really love John Benjamin Hickey. I would love it if he won. But
yeah, that
would be my second guess.
Same. Has he ever won?
He won for the Normal Heart.
Oh.
Yes. The revival.
Mm-hmm.
He played He played Ellen Barkin. I'm just kidding.
There was like a pause where I was like, wait, what?
You were like, wait, what?
Featured actress, Jane Alexander, Grand Horizons. Chalia Latour, Slave Play. Annie McNamara, Slave Play. Lois Smith, The Inheritance. Cora Vanderbroek, Linda Vista. So we've already said Lois Smith.
I think so.
I do too.
The Inheritance has to win something.
Right, right.
Okay, we've done musical. So the Crafts, which one is the most showy play? Like what's the, is it The Inheritance? Is it Soldier's Play? What's the biggest Craft play here?
I think it's going to be a very split thing for the play category. I think like A Christmas Carol will win some.
I was going to say the category that I think is really interesting about this year, because of the weird circumstances, is original score.
Right.
Original score, music and or lyrics written for the theater. And you know, normally this would be a musical, but it's all five plays, this time. And plays, do get in here. Like, what was the last time that won? Like, usually, like, Hadestown, Band's Visit.
Well, didn't Harry Potter get in here?
Yeah, yes. Harry Potter was nominated. Like, To Kill a Mockingbird was nominated. Like, Angels in America was nominated when it came out. So usually, like, a play gets in here. So I think it's really interesting that it's all five plays.
And again, it wasn't Percy Jackson.
Oh, Percy.
That creative team is a drinking today.
The predicted, actually, the best odds on Gold Derby for best musical score are for A Christmas Carol, with 13-1 odds, which isn't great either way, but that's the one that has the best odds. So
I think people probably assume, if they haven't seen them, because, you know, I bet there are a lot of people that maybe they haven't seen the shows because Broadway shut down what, like March 13th or something like that. Yep. So maybe there were some shows, like, I know The Heritons closed in, I think it closed in 2019, but there are some people that are probably going to get around to everything, and they didn't. So there, I feel like a lot of people are going to vote very blindly for some of these, especially the plays. So I feel like A Christmas Carol, because it's A Christmas Carol and there's 97,000 versions of it, that probably sounds very musical to everybody. So they probably would vote for it there.
Right.
I wonder if Broadway doesn't open again until May of 2021, does that mean that we won't have another Tony ceremony until June of 2022?
If it, probably, yes, because probably. that's if it opens.
Right.
That's wow. Really fucking sad. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Any passing thoughts?
Let me think. My passing thought is the 2 days before Broadway was about to close, I had fucking tickets to go see Company with Patti LuPone. I've never seen Company live. And then a month later, I had tickets to go see Virginia Woolf with
Laurie. Oh my God.
And I was so goddamn depressed. And Virginia Woolf's not coming back, but I think Company will. I mean, Virginia Woolf's come back many times, but they have said that this version will not.
That's funny that you say that. I interviewed Joe Mantello, who directs everything. I asked him, I was talking about the Broadway shutdown, and I said, what, like, the first thing, if you could pick the one thing that you would want to do, like, via carte blanche to do whatever you wanted when the world is safe to do it again, he said that he would want to reassemble the cast in some form of Virginia Woolf and do it, because he said he knew that show was very special.
Yeah. I had chatted with people who had seen it, and they were like, it's the best version of that play I'd ever seen. And I was like, oh my God. I will quote, my last thought, in all honesty, is to quote Jim Broadbent's Oscar speech, go Moulin Rouge.
Yes, that would be my sentiment as well. Joey, anything else?
No. When Broadway returns, go see Broadway shows. Jesus Christ, guys. Everyone go to New York all at one time.
Oh, God, please don't, actually. Please don't. We need to stay safe as possible.
I mean, when is safe to go?
Come in pairs, like Noah's Ark it, like wear a mask. Oh, God.
I mean, when it's safe.
I know.
I'm only kidding.
But please, yes, we need more Broadway. Although, recast Hugh, I like Ivana Trump, Jackman in The Music Man. God damn it.
I mean, who needs another Music Man?
We really don't. That show, oof.
I've never seen The Music Man. And I'm fine with it.
You are. You are. I was just going to say, you're better for it, Joey.
Well, I feel like that role caters to the worst of Hugh Jackman's every instinct.
It like, really does.
It's just like,
what do you mean?
it's his like Greatest Showman ish, but worse.
Yeah,
that doesn't sound like a con to me. I don't know.
It's just going to be so freaking over the top.
Well, there's no sexual tension with Zac Efron, so it's not a win, Joey.
Okay. That's the reason why I'm buying a ticket, so never mind.
All right. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
It does.
All right. We would like to thank you for entertaining us as we did this very special edition of the Water Cooler Podcast, the Tony edition. Please remember to check back with us on our regular rotation the beginning of every week. And we are the two M's, Joey Moser, myself, and Clarence Moy, and Kevin Dillon. Thank you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us. Wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow. And a reminder for everyone who listens to this podcast, if you made it to the end, then you should now go out and vote.
Yes, vote.
Oh, God, I'm going to have a heart attack. Because if you don't vote, there won't be a Broadway.
That's true.